Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Here's what I've noticed about the three-man booth. Now, I like it. When the three-man booth comes about, Jeff is so threatened.
Erroneous! Erroneous!
Jeff Lutz.
Do you know how many times I've felt threatened in my life? Every time we've done the three-man booth, minus every time that we've done the three-man booth, and you've got your answer.
So never.
Never.
Nature versus nurture. Nature always wins.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
This is a sports show. I'm looking up stuff. I just wanted to jump in and be part of the conversation, boys.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
It is going to be incredible. Wait for it. And I hope you're hungry, because the second half of this word is edible. Incredible.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome. It's a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. We have the three-man booth, Jason Duda in with Bob and Jeff today. Max Power Producing Engineering, 869-1240, the phone number. It's been a while, Duda. How are you?
Not bad.
How you look the same. You haven't shaved the beard or the goatee.
No. No, I never will.
Wearing the same glasses.
Never will. Never will. I don't think so. Maybe. I shouldn't say never. You're right, Jeff, but there's a really good chance that I won't.
Always want to try to reinvent yourself, especially at your age.
Why? Why would anyone want to reinvent themselves at my age?
Well, for a lot of reasons.
I mean, people change their look all the time, and I've done it somewhat frequently throughout my life. For instance, right now I'm letting my hair grow back. I've had it shaved for the last 3 or 4 years. I'm going to let it grow out, see how it looks. Since COVID, how long is that?
Yeah, he had it.
You haven't cut your hair in 3 or 4 years.
Hey, dumbbell, how long's COVID?
Your hair doesn't look as long as having not shaved since COVID.
What's he saying?
I have no idea.
When I ask you to break down
what is he saying? He's saying that he cut his hair during COVID and he'd kept it short.
Well, it sounded like
he said. And now he's letting it grow out again.
It sounded like he said, I haven't cut my hair since COVID.
Well, that's not what I heard.
That's not what I said. That's not what he heard.
That's what I heard.
Wow.
And I think that's what a lot of rational people out there heard.
You know, for many years, I thought you were somewhat on par with me.
Why would you start doing something during COVID?
See, he's interrupting
me. Makes no sense.
I shaved my head during COVID for whatever reason.
Sort of.
Pretty short.
It was like a Homer Simpson shave. There were still like random strands of hair that
survived. Now here come the insults.
Just telling the people.
So when he's beaten, it's all insults then.
It's not an insult. I'm just explaining to people so they can get a visual of what that looked like.
So now I've decided to go ahead and let my hair grow back and see what I think.
Well,
all the way back. It's not there yet.
You're going with an old school League 42 hat today.
I am. I got a lot of hats.
Can I see the hair so far? Not bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the same head of hair. It's just...
Well, when you shave it for a while, sometimes it doesn't grow back as thick or in the right spots or the hairline
is... I've never heard that before.
Or the hairline... Well, you haven't? Duda, please.
I have heard that, so I have to agree with Jeff on this.
Could it be a wives' tale?
It could be, and it's probably not for everybody, but some people it's probably happened. So in that regard, yes.
All I said was I'm letting my hair grow back.
Yes.
As a way of
You should wait. Changing. You should let it grow for 4 years.
Can we go back to the two-man with you?
Yeah, I'll go. I can go.
No.
You guys want.
With you.
I'm.
You haven't irritated me yet today.
I can go watch some Olympics. I'll be just
now
fine.
You're starting to irritate
me. They're still young.
Yeah.
course we love watching the Olympics.
What were you watching? Don't give anything away.
Yeah, don't give anything away because
the 200 meter. I wanted
we
to
watch
see.
The evening. We record the evening and then we go and watch the highlight.
I wanted to watch the 200. So,
well, everybody wants to watch the 200.
So I
is
watched
the 200.
It and got out of here.
They did the final. It's over.
Yeah.
Well, we'll catch up with it later.
And
but you
guy,
don't want to spoil
the guy
it for
who
anybody.
I thought would win one.
You don't want to spoil it for anybody.
I'm not. I just said
yeah,
the guy.
You just did. The only guy anybody knows in that race is Noah Lyles.
Really? Do you not watch? Do you not pay attention? Or just in the final and so you're under that
okay,
assumption?
Okay, then name another guy in the race.
Just
Bedarek.
Name.
Bedarek. There's the other American. Bedarek. Or
made that up.
Are you serious?
A little.
Or
Ogando. He was your leader after the semifinals for time. He'll be in lane four.
What about
I was watching
Phillips.
The hurdles yesterday. Did they finish the hurdles?
Tobogo.
Now you are.
You want to keep
a country.
Going?
Now you are making.
And it's not even a country.
No, he's
Trinidad.
From Botswana.
You're just
where's Botswana?
It's way over there.
Oh my goodness! I hate this show. With all of my might.
Yeah. Well,
why? You know why?
No.
Because you opened it questioning me.
I didn't question you. I misheard.
All I wanted to say was, Jason, you haven't changed anything. Everything's fine, whatever. But then he said, I'll never shave. And my point being, sometimes I've found throughout my life, I like a new look occasionally.
Sure, absolutely. Why not? At your age,
only way
that makes sense.
With facial hair. I used to have really long hair. I don't have really long hair
well,
anymore.
That was a long time ago.
Well, a long time
and
ago.
It wasn't really long.
It went to my early, to around 30.
Okay. I'm going to have to go look at some of the pictures.
Why? Why don't you just take it?
Because really long? I mean, that's quite a statement. From a guy who, you know, pretty much had the same haircut your whole life. At least your whole adult life. At least the whole part of your life that I've been a part
right.
of.
Right. And that was how, when?
40 years.
You didn't know anything that was going on.
I knew some stuff.
For the first 5 years of your life.
Oh, I sure did.
Did you ever have really long hair, Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff yep. never did.
Yeah, I had that growing
up. He was
up.
Incapable of it.
I went with the slick back look. Oh, that was my best look, I think.
Oh, we had. I mean, I grew up in the mullet time, man.
And then slick back everywhere. And pushed a little forward in the front.
Jeff didn't have hair till he was about 9.
That's
and
not true. I started
and then
losing
his hair.
Hair
started to go away when he was 12.
That quick?
Fairly accurate.
He had a three year run of hair.
Did the best I could with it.
And slicked her back when you had a chance.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's fantastic.
Come over action.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know that came from my side.
It came
side
from
of
me
thing.
Wearing hats. That's where it came from.
That's not true.
I don't
true.
Think it's in my genetics. Yes,
I
it is.
I wore a hat
true.
Just about every day of my life.
And your hair is as thin as anybody's.
Yeah, but I'm also 50.
You have
you haven't had any hair for how
you
long?
You have two uncles on your mother's side who have thin hair. My
Ralph
mother's
had nice hair.
My mother's side of the family had some premature hair loss.
You get it
we'll
from
put
your
it
mother's
way.
Father. And my mother's father has an impeccable head of hair, even to this day.
I don't know that you get it from your mother's
I'm
father.
Telling, I don't care what you know. I'm telling you.
Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Of course you haven't. You guys don't learn anything. You guys don't actually know stuff. I mean, stuff that isn't.
Why insult Jason?
Well, I'm not
I was insulting
by
both
anything
of you.
He says.
Because you know you consider the source.
Well, that's pretty obvious. It's very simple.
This is what I said in the intro to the show. When it's a three-man booth, this guy over here is so threatened that he lashes out. It doesn't even require anything to lash out about.
I don't know why.
Just I get irritated.
About with
I don't like... I don't like the extremes, Mr. Crazy over here and Mr. Nothing over here. Just nothing going on
and
either way.
Just, you figure you're just in the middle?
Exactly.
That's funny.
Well, find somebody who can do a show with you that you will enjoy. Go to Tony, pitch the idea.
No, I'll
Tony
continue.
Slam a door in your face and move on.
I'll continue to do this show, but I need you all to understand that it's not just going to be whatever you think it's going to be. It's not going to be that.
What?
It would be. I would love to see the reaction
of what?
You pitched the show to Tony Deuce.
Tony pitched the show to me back in the day.
Whoa!
Hey, brother. We really need you on our air, brother.
No, he took you off the air with that Jeff and Jamin show.
No, he didn't take me off the air. He took Jamin off the air.
Oh, so just
well, now you're throwing Jamin under the bus.
Yeah, I will.
Completely under the bus.
I will throw Jamin under the bus.
So Jamin was the reason that show was discontinued.
Yes, that's correct.
Really?
What was...
Jamin did not want to be paid, apparently, or he never filled out his timesheet. And Tony got to the point where, well, we have to pay you, but if you're not filling out your timesheet, then people get upset at the corporate, and we just got to stop the show. That's what happened.
That's one version of what
happened. That is the version.
Anyway, we missed that show. You remember it well.
Yeah.
Did you ever appear on the Jeff and Jamin?
No, I was never asked. Never invited, never asked for an interview or nothing on the
Jeff
and
Jamin. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Would you have come on?
Absolutely, I would have.
That's nice of you.
Maybe doesn't matter now.
Maybe for the revival, we'll have you on.
Well, good luck getting Jamin back after that.
Yeah, maybe it'll be just saying with Jeff and Jason.
Threw your buddy just right underneath. Like,
well, I'll tell you more.
This is a semi truck. It wasn't
even
bus.
More. Every time I ask Jamin,
I don't know if you should.
Every time I ask Jamin to be on this show when Bob's out, no, can't.
Well, if
he has
working.
A job.
I have a job.
You get off your job. It works for you.
Yeah,
it doesn't work for him.
One day a quarter
doesn't matter. You don't just. You can't just tell your boy, "Yeah, I'm taking this day off." Third Thursday of every month is going to be.
Man,
I'm not.
I bet
be
you
here.
Could.
In this wow. day and age, there's probably a little more leniency, but perhaps he doesn't enjoy doing the show.
That could be.
Could be it as well.
Who knows?
It is a different vibe on this show.
I think he really liked doing the show with me.
He did? He's never said
sure.
that. That's weird.
But I'm not sure that he wasn't burned out on doing the show with you.
Really? Once a week? For no money? I mean,
yeah, what game you want to play today, Jamin? Well, let's do that one we've done 400 times.
I mean, no, we always brought new games, and we bring new games here to this show.
You have a game today?
Every week.
No, it's Thursday.
It's
on Fridays, I'll bring
it's
one.
It's your game day.
Here's what we have on the show today.
Password back.
Yeah, I sure
love
hope so.
Password. At 2:45 today, WWE superstar Drew McIntyre will be on the show. The Scottish Warrior.
Is that what he's called?
Yes.
Oh.
Or the Scottish Psychopath sometimes.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's scary.
Yeah, we look forward to visiting.
He is a scary man.
With Drew McIntyre coming up at 2:45. At 3:25, Michelle Gardner, reporter from the Arizona Republic down in Phoenix. She covers Arizona State Athletics. She'll join us for our Big 12 preview. That sounds so weird to say, on the Sun Devils.
Yeah, that's just...
We're previewing Arizona State football, ladies and gentlemen.
We got to do
it. On a show in Wichita, Kansas.
Doesn't make any sense, but it is what it is.
That's where we are in college athletics now.
Very
and
confusing.
I got to tell you, I'm intrigued by all these different matchups.
I don't know. I like
know if
a couple
I'm intrigued
years.
For the long term, but I'm intrigued for this year.
I don't know.
Are like you really intrigued rivalries. By Arizona State, Cincinnati? I don't know if that's a game on the schedule, but you're only intrigued when it's KU or K-State playing one of these teams. You're not necessarily intrigued to see BYU-Houston. Because that's not really that good of a game in any conference on any schedule.
Well, look at it this way. Are you going to stay up to watch a game in Arizona State if, like you said, if BYU's at Arizona State?
No, I'm not.
I'm not even going to know it's on.
Exactly.
I won't know it's on.
And it's going to be too hard to find because how are networks broadcasting all these games with 16 teams? That's 8 games every weekend for the Big 12.
They'll be all
for the Big 10, more for the SEC.
Stream.
So here is week 4, Saturday, September 21. Here are some of the games. Okay? Because this is going to take
some getting used to.
All right.
By now, we're mostly in conference play. We've not all the way, but mostly. UCLA at LSU. That's not a conference.
Not a conference game. No. That's Big Ten SEC.
Tennessee at Oklahoma. That's bizarre.
That's a little strange.
That's a little bizarre. Let's go to the next week because that's when we're fully in.
I'm saying UCLA Big Ten doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense.
I don't like it.
Okay, so here we go. Arkansas, Texas A&M, that's been around. Oklahoma at Auburn, week 5. Mississippi State in Austin to play Texas. That's an SEC ball game. We've got Wisconsin in L.A. to play the Trojans. Wisconsin, USC.
Strange.
Isn't that something? Let me find another couple, and then we'll move on here.
Yeah, find another one or two.
I'll find what I want.
And then we'll move on.
We're desperate to move on. Here's the thing about this show.
What?
Here it is. You want to hear it?
No.
I want to hear it.
Thank you.
I want to hear it.
Every day when they promote this show, it's the Bob and Jeff Show.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
He's very threatened.
I don't care if you're threatened.
No, you're threatened.
That's all I wanted to say.
Give some games.
I'm looking for some.
Northwestern playing Stanford.
That's really the extent of the weirdness on that week. Okay, let's go to week 6.
Oh, why wouldn't we?
I mean, this is fun.
I'm
having the time of my life.
He's absolutely off the wall matchups.
Michigan State at Oregon. That's amazing to me.
Sure is.
Isn't that something?
It is. Crazy.
What else? Michigan at Washington. That's a pretty... isn't that a rematch?
That's two blue teams playing against each other. One before is two green teams playing each other.
That's a rematch of the championship.
I hate to break
this
to you. Washington's purple.
Well, it's kind of bluish.
No.
USC visiting Minnesota.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's two maroon and yellow teams.
UCLA coming clear across the country.
There's too many. They got
playing Happy Valley.
Everybody's got
that's
the same
two blue
colors.
Teams.
It's just ridiculous the way things are working.
I think it's incredible. Kansas at Arizona State.
Oh, if you'd have said Arizona, that's two red and blue teams.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
You were so not listening.
What'd you say?
Nothing. It's all good.
Jeff, I'm going to tell you something.
Good.
Again.
This has been the whole first segment of the show.
I got something
you
else to
just
tell
telling
you.
Me something.
I got something else to tell you.
Have at it.
I rarely listen to it.
I know. That's what makes it so fun.
Here's
what I can say anything.
When you got a brain like mine that's working hard.
Oh, it has to.
You understand.
Oh, it's something.
The gears are moving fast.
When
they're squeaky, but
like,
they're going.
When it works like my brain works, I got very little time to hear what
anyone else is
saying.
What were some of those games again? Give us, go to week 7. Oh, that's good.
This show would collapse if I wasn't on it.
I don't think so, man. I do not believe that.
How do you think a show with Jeff and you would do?
Oh, I would do fantastic.
It would be awesome.
You think so?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
What time slot would you get? 4 to 6?
Probably this 2 to 4.
You'd kick me out?
Why
isn't
would we
that
kick
how
you out?
Isn't that how it's going to happen eventually?
You didn't say anything about you. You said me and Jeff. So, why are you kicking yourself out?
At some point, I will leave this show with Jeff and see what he does with it.
Maybe
that's
nothing.
That's your inheritance, Jeff.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I get.
No, it's not maybe nothing. It is nothing. You'll run from this thing as fast as you can.
It's certainly possible.
You'll deny you were ever on it.
No, I don't know if I go quite that far.
You'll live in Western Sedgwick County and start raising chickens.
That would be awesome. Now that sounds great.
I don't know why you don't have chickens out there. You got
because we don't like to rip their heads off like you do.
Well, then don't.
Yeah, well, you don't have
you
to.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I know.
Just be pets.
Well, then I couldn't eat chicken. And that'd be a tough.
Why couldn't you eat chicken?
Why? What would that change about it?
I would love chickens. My chickens so much.
You don't
much.
Love chickens already?
No, I don't have any. So.
So you don't love them?
I don't have a personal bond with any chickens.
Well, then don't worry about eating that chicken.
But of course, I love chickens.
and I love cows, and I love pigs, and I love turkeys.
Well, why do you eat all the meat that comes from
I don't
from
know.
It? Whoa.
It's a tough life, that's why.
I don't understand
I
that.
I feel like part of it's nature. Part of it is just because it tastes good. Everyone understands that. But it's a tough life.
For who?
Me.
Chickens? And the cows?
It's a dynamic. You got it. Yeah, I understand. Life's tough. This life is tough.
It's not easy.
So what are you going to do? You're going to try to make it through the best you can, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're all trying to do.
At some point, you're going to have to make a decision in your life that goes against what you think your morals are.
Here's where I want Mike Furches. There's so many. I should do a podcast with Mike Furches.
You should.
It would be unbelievable. Because I wouldn't hold anything back, nor would he.
Well, go.
I'm going to ask Tony about it.
Okay.
Hold back on what?
Just talking about everything. The things you can't talk about on this show.
Why don't you do that with me?
You're not interesting.
Okay.
Jeez.
I mean, you're interesting, but that's not what anybody tunes into this show.
Right. We do a podcast. It would be a different.
No.
I can talk about anything.
Too many volatile subjects.
And no offense to Mike, but I think
Mike has an opposite point of view on some of the things I think. And that's
so do I.
No, you don't. You're right down the line. I hear it all the time. Bob, Jeff's
fought over stuff on this show before.
It's true.
On sort of social issues.
Bob, Jeff, so much. What'd you do? Clone him? I get that all the time.
I don't anymore, thank God.
Clone him?
Yeah.
Not quite.
All right.
Would you be proud if I was viewed upon as your exact equal? I know you don't consider me an equal in any way, but would you would you appreciate that?
Oh my gosh.
What
is wrong with you? I mean, look into it.
I will.
Max
I have
is
been.
Playing the music. That's how uncomfortable Max is. He's never done that.
Max will be fine.
Max, we'll play the music when we're time for a break. You are listening to Bob and Jeff with Jason Duda, who we're going to highlight in the next segment.
We are?
We are.
Stay with us.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to the hotline sponsored by IHOP. They have all-you-can-eat pancakes at IHOP. Here's KU Pat. It must be approaching football season. Pat, hello.
Hey, hi, guys. 3 weeks from tonight, I'll be heading up to Kansas City for KU's first game. Before I get to Duda, Bob, I have a guest suggestion. You've had him on before, and Mark Mangino, I mean, I thought he was so great when you had him on during football season. I saw him on a video about a week ago, and my goodness, I bet he's lost over 100 pounds. He looked as healthy as I've ever seen him, and so I don't know if that can be done, but boy, I always enjoyed listening to him.
Well, I reached out to Mark recently to come on about going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. Did not hear back, which is unusual. But when he was on, we had to pay him and kind of came out of my pocket. Anyway, it was fun. Oh. Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. Duda, I want to ask you, I've been waiting for you to be back on the show. Have you learned your lesson after four painful years about KU?
No.
Has Duda ever learned a lesson in his life?
I don't take to lessons very well, so it'll be very difficult for me to continue that. But we will see what happens when the season starts, KU Pat. We'll see. We'll see.
You do know they're pre-ranked number 24, and if you want to continue to finish near the bottom, continue your ways. I want to see you win this thing.
You can't win this thing because you get pencil whipped anyway, KU Pat. It's impossible.
Here's what I predict for KU, at least at the outset. They play Lindenwood, which Lindenwood will be lucky to field a team. I can't imagine
72
that
points.
Will be close. Then they play at Illinois, which could be a test, will be a test. You go on the road to play in the Big Ten. That's a test. Then they have UNLV, and UNLV is usually a representative team. They have West Virginia on the road. That's a difficult game because it's on the road at West Virginia. Then they have TCU at Arizona State and Houston. I predict they're unbeaten when they face Kansas State coming up on October 26th. And it would not shock me if Kansas State is also undefeated. Thoughts on that, Pat?
Yeah, you may be a little overly optimistic. The game at West Virginia is, they're going to be much better.
Those are the kind of games you got to win if you want to be serious.
No, I agree. I agree.
Don't start backing off on us.
No, of course I won't. And when you have 30 seniors, this is the year to get it done. But of course, the whole thing depends on the health of Jalen Daniels. And I mean, you know, he's never been able to play a whole season without getting hurt. But skill-wise, players in the Big 12, I don't think there's a team better offensively. But we will see. I'm excited. If you would have told me in year four, KU would be this far down the road with Leipold, I would have said you were crazy. But he's amazing. And, Jeff, I don't want to leave you out. I mean this sincerely. I hope your Guardians hold on. I really do. I'm not.
Man, me too.
Fantastic. I hope they do. Because I'm not a Royals fan, and they've already got the Chiefs, who I don't like. So I don't think I could stomach the Royals winning that division. So I hope you guys hold on, man.
Thank you. It's going to be tough. But well, we got Minnesota this weekend, so we'll know a lot more.
That's enough. Thank you,
Monday.
Pat. We appreciate it.
Pat, stick around. Let's talk more Guardians.
Thank you, Pat. Couldn't care less. The Guardians are in a little bit of a free fall. I watched a lot of the second game of their doubleheader yesterday against the Diamondbacks. Nobody there. I don't know.
Their attendance has been fine. That was a traditional doubleheader that started at noon, and the second game.
Not the game you go to if you're in Cleveland.
No, hey, because people in Cleveland have to work.
I'm talking to Duda. I said I was going to highlight him.
It's a working class town.
I don't want to be highlighted.
Let's go to the game today. They got a doubleheader. We're in first place. Arizona's coming to town. It's a nice day. Let's go to the ballpark. Right?
12 sellouts.
Which game would I go to? Is that what you're asking
me?
Yeah,
yesterday's game. Wouldn't you go?
I'd go to the early one.
You wouldn't say
they played at noon and 3:30 or something, right?
Yeah, it's like a doubleheader. Wouldn't you go?
It not only is like a doubleheader, it is
a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Why'd I ask you this?
Guardians
question?
Lost both. Twins lost. Royals won. 3.5 game lead in the division. Starting a series tomorrow. Did Minnesota play today, or do they?
No, they do not.
No, I don't think so.
Neither do the Royals.
Royals don't play today either. And you're stuck with what you got here.
But the Tigers play. Are you worried about the Tigers?
No, I'm not.
All right, then don't worry about it. They're in Seattle.
Why don't they run the? Why don't they put the attendance in the ESPN box score? They list the umpires. There it is, 26,700. There weren't 26,000.
That's pretty good attendance.
But not bad.
That wasn't 26. Come on.
Well, maybe some.
You watched the game.
A lot of people.
I didn't watch the game.
A lot of people aren't going to stay there for 8 hours.
Be quiet. I've decided not to highlight you.
Well, that's good.
And it was tickets sold for the previous day's game because that's who was in the stadium. You had to have a ticket to the previous day's game.
Listen, I hope you hang on, but that did not look a team like
the
a team that's
day's game. I don't know what day
that's
game
built to hang on. If you know what I mean.
Well, we'll see. Does Minnesota look like? I mean, no, every team is flawed.
You used Stephen Kwan early in the game to pinch it for David Fry, who made the All-Star team.
David Fry can't hit right-handed hitters.
You get to the ninth inning, and you're sending up Schneeman instead of having and you got a couple runners.
No, you have Lane Thomas against.
Well, but Schneeman came up early,
and he walked. He did fine. I'm not worried about Schneeman.
You used.
I'm worried about losing the platoon advantage because you feel like you have to play Lane Thomas.
You used Stephen Kwan too early. That's my point.
Well, he should have stayed in the game.
Well, something like that. But whatever.
They're overthinking the game, and I don't like it. Just get some left-handed hitters in the lineup against right-handed pitching.
Well, they better bring some people up, haven't they?
Put your right-handed hitters in against left-handers and try to win.
They're trying to win.
Instead of batting Lane Thomas second and David Fry fifth against right-handed pitching, that's a recipe for losing.
Well, I don't like it either. I spent some of my time watching that game.
The Guardians succeeded early on in the season because they had the platoon advantage in almost every at-bat. Or very, very many. They led the league in having the platoon advantage. Now, we don't.
Meanwhile, Bobby Witt with another big game. Have you seen his numbers? I don't have them right accessible.
Yeah, I've seen his numbers.
His numbers in Kansas City at home.
Where they cheat.
Now they cheat.
Did I say that?
Now they cheat.
Wow.
One of your guys got on Twitter and said that. And this is the awful thing about social media.
What guys?
Some clown, I don't know, some moron on Twitter.
That's been out on Guardians Twitter for a while.
You know what? Maybe you should cheat because.
We should.
How are they cheating?
I would welcome cheat.
I don't know.
I haven't heard.
They've been really good offensively at home, have the Royals.
And not good at all on the road.
No, they've been okay on
the road.
They're
23rd in OPS plus on the road and like in the top five at home.
Because they're built for their ballpark.
No, they're not.
Yes, of course they are.
They don't hit that many home runs.
That's right. That's why they're built for their ballpark.
I disagree. They hit too many home runs, is what I'm saying.
They're very good, and they're extremely good at home. And Bobby Witt is having the kind of year that will be historical. I mean, we've for how many years has George Brett been the standard bearer for Royals baseball since the 70s,
nearly
right?
50.
This guy's going to surpass him.
That's tough.
This guy's going to surpass him. He runs better. He plays a more premium position. He has at least as much power, and I think will develop into more power. There's not anything George Brett could do that Bobby Witt can't. And there are things Bobby Witt can do that George Brett couldn't.
We'll see.
Well, he's
we've already seen.
Okay, talent-wise, sure. But we have to have longevity. We've got to have the benchmark numbers. Some of those 3,000 hits would be nice.
This guy's headed for all that, and you know it.
No, right, I don't know it.
I agree. As long as he stays healthy.
Right.
I mean, he's hitting 350.
He's great.
Got 22
I'm not bombs. Disputing that.
He's got 25 stolen bases. His OPS is 1,000.
And that
he's got 99 runs, 84 RBIs.
He's still developing his power. 21 home runs, that's good, but he's going to be a 35 to 40 homer guy at some point.
Well, he might have 35 this year.
Yeah, I mean.
He'd have to really turn it up.
13 more in like 55 games?
He'd have to really turn it up.
That's not that many. That's 2 months a game.
55, that's like hitting 39 in a season.
No. Wrong. He's got 21.
He has 22.
And he'll hit about 30 this year. But he could be a 40 guy. He's better than Brett ever was. Right now, he is. Whether he stays that way, I don't know. You heard it.
Whatever.
What's the most runs batted in George Brett ever had in a year? Look it up.
I will. 118. He did 107, 112, 103.
What's the most home runs Brett ever had in a year?
30, actually.
30.
But he went 22, 23, 24, 21, 25, 30, 22, 24. He's an underrated power hitter. And
he's a fine power.
And listen, he hit 665
George
doubles.
George Brett is a great player. The greatest Royal. I'm just telling you, this guy's going to be better.
Whatever. I mean,
these are the kind of players that only come along. The Cardinals haven't had one. Albert Pujols. This is their Albert Pujols.
George Brett was pretty darn good.
Yes.
90 WAR Brett guy, 305 career hitter, hit 390 one year, led the league in batting average.
George Brett
OBP
was
slugging.
Phenomenal. That's not the point. Witt's going to surpass him.
Okay, well, he's not. I wouldn't say he's better now than Brett ever was. I don't think that's accurate.
This season he's having, Bobby Witt Jr., what was Brett's highest OPS?
1118.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
That's the year he hit 390, I would
guess. Yes, and led the league in on-base and slugging.
And he walked a lot. Now, Bobby Witt.
He didn't walk that much that year.
Bobby Witt is Bobby Witt's something else.
But he's also 9.5 WAR that year, 8.6 the year before. So George Brett had a pretty high
peak. What's Witt's WAR?
Probably 7, I would say, or so.
And 55 games left.
Well, let me see.
Say it, dude. You said it a minute
ago. 7.5.
With 55 games left.
Well, you were talking about homers. He could hit 13 more. Easy.
What was Brett's best WAR in a season?
I just told you, 9.6.
Is Witt going to pass that?
Probably.
Yep.
I'm with Jeff on this one.
Good.
Thank you.
You guys can go, you know what? You can go outside and walk up and down my street holding hands.
We'll take this next segment off.
On December 9th, the Raw brand is bringing its show here to Intrust Bank Arena, WWE. Drew McIntyre will be front and center with that show. He joins us right now, Drew McIntyre. Hello, Drew. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be talking with you all about coming back. Very excited to be home for a few days because I'm never home. I'm always working. Very excited that I kicked CM Punk's butt last week at SummerSlam.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be the same since that ordeal. You really put it to him.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he's weak physically, weak-minded. He's just like a Charles Manson-like type. He poisoned everybody's brain to make them believe he's this phenomenal superstar. And truthfully, he's all right, but he's no Drew McIntyre.
Fair enough. So, Drew, you know, I don't remember a whole lot of times where, you know, stories in WWE were continued when one or both parties were injured, but that happened with you. It happened with Rhea Ripley. I'm just curious how much fun that was for you. You didn't get to be in the ring a lot in those 6 months or so, but you got to do a lot of character work. And how much did that help you kind of grow as a performer?
Yeah, it's awesome the way we do things now. Like in the past, if a storyline was pretty hot and somebody got hurt, it would just be scraps, would move on, just continue once they returned. But for Punk to be injured for 7 months now, for an arm injury, that's how slow he recuperates. See Wolverine, the Deadpool Wolverine, how like Wolverine recuperates really quickly. Punk's at the exact opposite. Like, who the hell takes 7 months to recover from an arm injury? What a loser. But I was out for about 2 months myself with a broken arm. Not because I was hurt the whole time, because they wouldn't let me back in the ring. I would have wrestled through it because, you know, I'm not a coward like Punk. But at the same time, we were able to continue this story. I was able to run my mouth the whole time. And all I kept saying was, fight me, fight me. Come on, I dare you to fight me. And he would show up as a Wile E. Coyote in the Roadrunner. He'd pretend he wanted to fight me. He'd run away and drive off in his car. And finally, at SummerSlam, the match became official. He had to get in the ring with me. And I crushed him. It was great. And now he claims he wants to fight me again. And that's just fine, because I intend to take him out, not just of WWE, but of this planet. If he keeps messing with me, I can't stand CM Punk. I've not liked him since I was 22 years old. He made my life difficult. My first run with WWE directly affected a lot of my opportunities in WWE when I was younger. I've never liked the guy. For him to come back to the company after sitting in his arse for 9 years, thinking he's going to jump ahead of all of our superstars who have worked their butts off to get in their positions, including me, and leapfrog us just because he's living off of his name from the past. He can think again. At Royal Rumble, I barely messed with him. I went in to hurt him. Not that bad. I tore his tricep. And at SummerSlam, I messed him up, but he didn't get hurt. So if he wants to fight again, I will happily break his stupid jaw so he can't run that stupid mouth anymore and start peeling off every muscle of his body. And I'll do it with a smile on my face because he deserves it. He's a terrible, terrible human being.
Drew McIntyre, our guest, the Scottish Warrior. My son keeps chuckling as you talk about CM Punk. I'm petrified. So we're 4 months away from your appearance here in Wichita with Raw. What do you imagine? Whose butt will you be kicking that night? Could it be CM Punk potentially still?
If he makes it that long, yeah. I mean, he made it very clear that as long as he's in WWE, I'll never be world champion. He's cost me multiple matches, including WrestleMania, won the world title. He directly caused me to lose the world title the same night. We had a big show in Scotland, where I'm from. It's the first time it's happened, a show of that magnitude. God knows when it's going to happen again. I was in the main event. I had the match won. He directly cost me the world title there. And he is not going to stop and allow me to be world champion as long as he's around. And I know that I'm not going to be able to go forward until he's out of WWE. And I made it clear to him I won't stop until his heart does. But I think more likely I'll just keep pushing him and pushing him. He's so weak physically, he'll break physically, but he's also weak mentally. If I break him mentally enough, he'll finally quit WWE, go home again for the second time, and hopefully never come back.
So we saw
Seth. I'll beat him up in front of y'all, and I'll give your son a heck of a show. And I start ping-pong and punk all around. You just seem like a wet T-shirt, and you just sling it around like crazy and smack it off walls and stuff. That's what it might look like with Punk when I get to Wichita. He's still not finished off. I'm going to sling him around like a wet T-shirt.
So we saw, you know, on Monday, Seth got brutally attacked by Big Bronson Reed. Seth's involvement in your issue with CM Punk, is he getting in the way? Do you think he's a hurdle that you need to clear to continue to get to CM Punk, or do you welcome being able to conquer him as well?
I already conquered Seth. I beat him for the world title at WrestleMania. He was just sticking his nose in my business. He became the referee for myself and Punk last week. He's a spotlight junkie. Can't help force himself into where the most attention is. The most attention was on Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. He wedged himself in there because he needs that attention. He needs that spotlight on him. And thankfully, Bronson Reed came in, took him out. That's not my business. I don't know why he did it, but I'm happy he did it. It gets rid of Seth. Seth's problems with Punk are like, well, Punk said some big bad words about me on the internet. He really was nasty about me when he was gone from WWE, so I've got all this hatred for him. He's all right, mate, big bad words. He directly affected my career when I was younger. Like, actually hurt my career, actively went out of his way to hurt my career. Not big bad words, big bad actions. So he can shut up. He can bugger off with Bronson Reed and let me finish off Punk.
Talking now with Drew McIntyre. Again, WWE Raw headed for Wichita in 4 months, December the 9th, here at Intrust Bank Arena. So by all accounts, WWE is at a high point. The creativity in the company is high. People seem that the storylines are resonating with fans. What's going on right now? And is this an ebb and flow business like all of us believe it is? Or can WWE keep this momentum?
I believe we can keep the momentum and continue to grow. Like, our company and industry has always been very cyclical. You know, there's like high times and there's lower times. But it always, you know, rises back up dependent on certain superstars getting more popular at certain times. But right now, just the way creative is, the way management is, or Triple H leading the creative team, our creative team understanding our characters now, but very much leaning into long-term storytelling, which we've never done before. It's always been very much car crash style storytelling. in WWE and wrestling, believing that fans have such short attention spans, and they don't. We have so many TV shows all across the different mediums now, especially streaming services. People want to get more invested in the characters. They want to understand character motivation. And we're 52 weeks a year, no rerun, no off-season. We have the ability to create these deep-level, layered characters like any TV show, The Sopranos or whatever you watch, and these detailed storylines, and perform in front of a live crowd to really, truly hook people. And if you know who your character is, like I know exactly who my character is because I am that character, you can make people truly feel on a deeper level. And in the end, that's all our industry is about, is creating that emotion, making people feel. And right now, there's so many characters making people feel. There's so many storylines that are hot right now. And Roman Reigns just returned right now. We got a few other characters and superstars that are about to return. As hot as we are, we're selling out in advance every single week. The business deals the companies do are constantly billion-dollar deals. And I know we're just going to keep going from strength to strength.
So you've alluded several times in this interview on television, in past interviews, that CM Punk early in your career went out of his way to harm you professionally. Can you shed more light on that? And are you surprised that here we are, 10 years later, and he has not attempted to make amends yet?
I mean, I don't look into details right now. Maybe I will on the television show eventually. But let's just say the way our industry works is that if you get in the right person's ear, you can directly hurt someone's opportunity. And that's exactly, what he did to me multiple times. Maybe I'll talk more about it. If he keeps coming after me, maybe I'll go into the details more so fans can understand my side. I don't want fans just to cheer for me just because. I want them to understand and look at the evidence and understand that I'm right. Like, this is a person who is genuinely a bad person. If you look back at his history, just search the internet, and like some character profiles of the guy, some testimony from different people over the years, and look at my character online, all the different testimonies about me, my degrees in criminology, and in the criminal justice system. All you have to do in court is prove beyond reasonable doubt somebody's guilty. I've laid out so much evidence over the past 7 months. It's not just a case of Punk is guilty beyond reasonable doubt. He deserves the chair, and people still cheering him. Like, it's insane to me that people aren't opening their eyes at this point. Maybe I'll get more information, but at this point, I think he's just such a, should I say, Charles Manson type. He's poisoned people's minds so much, no matter what I say. They just won't understand. I literally have to take him out for the good of everybody because their brains are poisoned.
Well, we are very appreciative of you taking some time with us today to talk about your feud with CM Punk and other matters related to World Wrestling Entertainment. Drew McIntyre will be part of the crew here at Intrust Bank Arena December 9th, Monday Night Raw. Drew, so happy to have you on. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate you all, and can't wait to get to Wichita again and kick some arse. Probably Punk.
And we're going to stay on your good. We're going to stay on your good side. Thank you, Drew.
Well, this doesn't mean a good move. Just wait till I get in the bad move.
Thank you again, Drew.
Cheers, guys.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out. Oprah. George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Drew McIntyre, who wants another piece of CM Punk. There's just no doubt about it. He has an insatiable desire.
Probably
to
forever.
Kick that guy's arse.
Do you think it's real?
Well, you really never know. You never know. He makes it sound real. That's what matters.
Okay.
What's your favorite movie, dudes?
My favorite movie?
Yeah.
Probably Shawshank.
Is it real?
I think it's real.
Is it real?
It is real.
All right.
Prisons are real.
Okay.
There are prisons everywhere, Jeff.
No, that's true.
Yep.
Time for a break on that note. We will be back with one more hour. We'll talk with Michelle Gardner of the Arizona Republic coming up at 3:25. She'll break down the Arizona State Sun Devils as we continue Big 12 football previews here. The Bob and Jeff Show with our friend Jason Duda back in a minute.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.